Darren Hall, Kerry Miller, and Sky Shabalala. Weekdays 6 to 9 a.m.
This morning on Kerry's Couch, I am humbled to say the least. This woman is an award-winning mountaineer. She is a Mandela Libraries ambassador, a social entrepreneur. She's a mom. I mean, that's the biggest one of them all. She's an executive of one of the most distinguished financial institutions in South Africa, and she has committed herself to making a difference, not just in the environment, but in her life, and now the life of many women and men around the world just watching this incredible woman. Her name is Sarah Khumalo. Welcome to Kerry's Couch, Sarah.
Thank you, Kerry. I appreciate it. Wow, what an introduction.
I am so happy to be speaking to you. I was watching your summit, and obviously we were keeping up to date with everything through this incredible journey of yours, which is not the first time that you've tried to reach the summit, by the way. But let's just go back a little bit. For someone who's perhaps never heard of Sarah Khumalo, where were you born? When were you born? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm 47 years old. I was born in Lusaka, Zambia, and I studied accounting, BCom. Yeah, and actually a minor in computers. And I have two kids, boys, 21 and 16, and I love climbing in my spare time when I'm not negotiating.
So Sada, when I met six-year-old Sada, what would she have said she wanted to be when she grew up?
Oh my word, she was a little crazy. She had a little bike. At some point, wanted to be a doctor, but was just always in trees. I mean, I'm one of seven girls, I was the tomboy of the lot.
So you've been climbing your whole life.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's been fun.
In the group of seven, whereabouts are you?
I am the second born, but I'm currently the oldest because we lost our older sister.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Your mom and dad, are they still around?
My dad, no, but my mom, yes. She's 74. I called after the summit when I got to base camp, and I said, does she understand what just happened? She's like, oh, she must have broken some record of some sort, but I need to come and sit down and actually talk to her and so that she can understand exactly what it was all about. So I said, but you said I could go, so what did you think about?
Exactly. What did you think?
So, exactly.
Did you have to eventually just say it in very plain terms, like, Mom, I am the first black African woman ever to conquer Everest. That's what just happened. Did she get it then?
She did. But my sisters think it's a good thing that she doesn't understand everything that happens on the mountain. Otherwise, she'll have a heart attack.
Well, Sada, can we go there? So for most of us, a hike is maybe a 30-minute walk up to a pretty hill where we have a picnic and then the 30-minute back. How did you get into this kind of extreme climbing?
Yeah, so it really started with a bucket list item, which was Kilimanjaro. And when we did Kilimanjaro at the end of 2012, just at the dawn of 2013, we raised money for a home in Benoni. When we were handing over the outdoor gym and then the library that we had renovated, one of the kids there was just surprised that I looked at them and I could do this.
Wow.
And she actually came and said, do you really come from the township? You know, and I thought, why? He says, but nobody like you actually has ever come to do something for us.
Wow.
You know, something this big. And just got me thinking and saying, maybe I, in a small way, I want to be an example so that the next generation of me can see that we can do stuff for ourselves. We can change our own communities and not having to depend on other people. And for me, what is key is education, because I believe that where I am right now is because somebody invested in my education. So I tried to find how I can identify people that are doing great stuff in education. So that's when I came across the Mandela Libraries and now the Dr. Tandi Foundation. But then I wanted to also find other mountains that I could climb and learned about seven summits, the Grand Slam, and I started summits with a purpose to say, I'm going to summit because I love it, but I'm going to use it to make a difference in my community through education.
How many have you done now?
So Everest was the fourth one. I have done Kilimanjaro, which was the first, Elbrus in Russia, Aconcagua in South America, and Everest in Asia. So I still have three more to go apart from the two poles.
Sada, most moms that I know barely have time to, they can't even go to the loo alone. They've got a child at their feet. Do you think you were able to do this because your boys are a bit older? Because how did you find the time as a mom and a working woman to have this much time for yourself?
Look, we have 24 hours. You know, if it's important enough for you, you make a plan. You know, we're very good at multitasking, by the way, they keep saying. But, yes, as you rightly point out, the fact that the boys are older makes it easier. I do some of the stuff with them. Of course, they don't like hiking for long periods of time.
So now, Sada, I have to speak about this. And, I mean, I wish we could only speak about the fun and incredible things that are going on. Yeah. But, I mean, obviously, at the moment, there's a huge search for missing climbers after the Himalayan avalanche. Tell me, when you hear stories like this, what does it bring up in you? Also, because I know that your team had some tragedy on your climb.
Yes. Look, I mean, I'll talk specifically about our team. We summited together, celebrated on the mountain. We had fun from the time we met in Kathmandu. It was, you know, so coming down to Camp 4 and finding that Seamus was missing, first of all, you think it's a joke. Then you realize people are serious and you hope that he's found. And as time moves on, you realize that he's actually not coming. So it's almost like bittersweet. It's like, do you celebrate the summit really? I can be honest with you. For 2 days, I even forgot about the fact that I was on top of the world, because you're just like, I need to go down. You know, I'm hoping he's okay and so forth. When we climbed, we know, well, at least I know the dangers of it, because in 2014, when I was on the mountain, 16 Sherpas died. And it's people that had more experience than poor me, novice me in my tent that survived. And that just really taught me that, you know, death is the fate of us all. And when it's your time, whether you're in your kitchen or you're on the mountain or you're on N1, it's your time, you know. So I'm not going to stop doing what I love doing because I'm afraid of death, because it's coming for me. And I just hope that by the time it does, I'll fulfill my purpose.
Do you think it's selfish?
And that's why I keep climbing.
Do you think it's selfish of you to do this to your family, knowing that every time you go to do this thing you love, they might be saying goodbye to their mom or their partner for the last time?
Every time I get onto N1 to come to work, I could be saying goodbye. So I don't think it's selfish. It is selfish when you climb at all costs. Yeah. So you'll be probably aware that I've come back from the summit 99 meters from the summit.
Oh.
It's because I knew that my life is more important and it's fragile, and the mountain will always be there, and I can try it again another time.
Sada, I have a few questions from my team, the boys.
Yes, absolutely.
So Darren and Sky wanted to know, what happens when you need to wee and you're climbing?
Yeah, it's always the boys that want to know these things.
I know, but when they brought it up, I thought, that's a very good point. I would love to know.
So there is a few ways. There's something called like a shiwi.
Yeah. I've heard of it.
You know the shiwi? Yeah. But it's difficult to slip and use the shiwi when you're wearing a harness, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's quite a mission. But if you're on a rope and there's boys, you just say to everybody, listen, guys, I need to do this and I need to do it now. And everybody looks on the other side and you kind of pee. But many times you just be at the next camp and there's usually toilets there.
Is it true that
expeditions, though, give you a bag to bring your stuff down from the mountain?
Okay, well, that's what I was going to ask. Someone once told me that you use your urine in a bag to actually keep yourself warm, like a hot water bottle. Is that real?
Sometimes people do that.
Another question. One of my friends heard I'd be interviewing you, and he said to me, please, please, please ask Sada this question. That picture that's been doing its rounds, it's gone viral with a lion, almost like Disney World, the top of the mountain. Yeah. Is that real?
That is very much real. That happened in the subsequent windows after we had summited.
Sada, I'm not going to take up much more of your time. I just wanted to know if anyone wants to get hold of you or watch you. Where can we follow your journey? Because really, you have made not just women proud, you have made Africa very proud, and we just want to be behind you all the way. But from a distance, not actually on the mountain.
One day I'll take you with. You can follow on Facebook. It's Summits with a Purpose. So you can follow there.
Wow, Sara Khumalo, I'm blown away. You are something quite incredible. Thank you so much for speaking to us.
Take care.
Thanks, Sara. Have a lovely day.
You too. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Darren Moore, Carrie Miller, and Sky Shabalala. Weekdays, 6 to 9 a.m.